hate this here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose.
It's yeah, really, it's unbelievable.
Boys, he's already lazy, man. Now he's sick.
Valero is, you know, he's muscling through today's show after missing 3 out of 5 shows last week. I mean, honestly. I mean, Devontae Parker looks at you and says, that guy's got a problem. Devontae Parker's like, can't that guy stay healthy, man?
Producer, Pringle producer. Goodness.
Devontae producer.
Look at you.
You set me up to fail, man.
I set you up to fail. You're talking
you
to Juan and Mara, or you're talking to me?
Arguing with me just so you, so I couldn't get John Michaels on the phone.
I know, but how did I know that John Michaels was supposed to be on the line and you didn't? You're producing the show.
Because you were arguing me, so I was distracted.
I was arguing you.
Arguing me.
I was arguing you.
Arguing with me.
We'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. John Michaels, he is the midday host on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. I always feel the need to give a very long explanation on who he is, because you may not know him. But people, when I tweeted out Saturday, I guess we'll have John Michaels on again Monday. There were a ton of people retweeting. What time? What time? He's going to speak the gospel. He's bringing the fire. He is a diehard Miami Hurricanes fan. Grew up down here. He's got the Canes tattooed on his body. He's got season tickets. Lives in Atlanta. Has season tickets at Hard Rock Stadium. And he is not a fan of Mark Richt. He watched him at UGA for years. He works in Atlanta. He's worked in Atlanta for years, and he's not a fan of Mark Richt.
And that's unique because when he came here, all the Canes fans were excited, but I think John knew so much about Mark Richt that he had a little...
He was one of those guys that said, temper your excitement because I've been watching this guy a long time. And so here he is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. John Michaels, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Go ahead, John. The floor is yours.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you to all the Canes fans who traveled up here to beautiful downtown Atlanta on Friday and Saturday. Got to see my boy Cutler Ridge Laz. I don't get to see him.
Yeah, he was out there representing.
Him and his wife, Maureen. I had a gentleman named Jason, him and his girl, Angie, and I'm sitting at the bar talking to JD. He goes, you're the guy that's on Hockman and Crowder. I go, yes, I am. And I said, I told you guys if I ran into a fan that recognized me, I gave him my pit tickets. I literally emailed him right there. Here's my tickets. You can have them. He was super excited. So excited on Saturday, he actually came and hung out with me and some of my boys at a tailgate. And we had a couple of cocktails and had a really good time. So shout out to QAM and you guys.
And then after the game, he emailed you the tickets back.
He actually sold them on StubHub, but he had to pay somebody to buy them on StubHub.
So your thoughts after watching Saturday's game?
We just lost to Lewis and Arnold from Remember the Nerds Part 1. Are you kidding me? There is not a high school in South Florida that would run that pop gun offense that Paul Johnson calls his triple option or whatever that crap is. That was one of the most lethargic Miami performances I've seen since Al Golden, the master of the lethargic Miami performance. I hadn't left a Miami game early. Mind you, I sat in Norman, Oklahoma when we lost 51-17 or 51-14 when Randy Shannon trotted out Kirby Freeman and Kyle Wright. I sat to the end of that game. The end of the third quarter in Atlanta, my own city, I looked at my kids and I go, you guys cold? They go, yeah, it's freezing, Dad. I said, it's time to go home because nothing good is going to come of this. Because by that time, all the well-endowed, people that were sitting in their grandfather's box at Bobby Dodd Stadium were hanging over the balcony, throwing the U down, talking trash, telling us to go back to Cuba. And I laugh. I said, I'm a white guy. I don't really need to go back to Cuba, although I would love to visit Cuba nonetheless. I took my kids and I left at the end of the third quarter. And I'm ashamed of myself for leaving early. But then when I watched the fourth quarter and we had the slowest two-minute drive in the history of college football, I said, I am glad I was at home before the game was over. So it was a terrible performance, but I kind of think we all knew that was coming from Mark Richt.
Well, did we?
Yes. Did you not see it coming? Yeah, Georgia Tech favored. I get it. He went back to Nkosi Perry. He still called the same 3 stupid plays. Hey, it's 3rd and 8. We're going to run all verts. Nevertheless, crossing routes, or maybe use some of the motion that all these other innovative offensive coordinators use. We're just going to run all verticals with an offensive line that, quite frankly, hasn't blocked in about 7 years, maybe even longer than that. Let's let N'Kosi Perry stand back there. Georgia Tech is dreadful on defense. Like in Atlanta, the 8 or 9 fans that actually care about Georgia Tech, and that might be all of them, they're so ticked off. They want Paul Johnson fired. They were texting me mad that Miami let Paul Johnson win a game because it makes them bowl eligible, and they're probably going to be stuck with him for another couple of years.
John, what's going on with the defense, man? The offense is what it is. We've talked about it for a couple weeks, but this defense is upsetting me because I thought they were going to be the unit to hold this team together.
They've held them together. Without them, they'd be losing 45-14. We had Mark D'Onofrio, they'd be terrible. Georgia Tech ran for 108 yards below their season average. And if Jeff Thomas and DJ Dallas don't lay the ball on the ground, I'm not sure Georgia Tech scores 21 to beat Miami. And obviously they get 27 because of that. Your one mistake, well, you had two the other day. You had Gerald Willis jump off sides on a 3rd-and-8 where Tech was going to have to throw it and you were going to get off the field and still be up 7-0. The other mistake was, and I couldn't tell because it was on the other end of the field for me, was that Bandy who ran behind the receiver on that post route that they end up catching a touchdown?
Yeah.
Those were your two mistakes. And that was Bandy, I think, just losing where the ball was. The defense to me has played okay, but Channing, you played on teams. You know how this goes. Your offense is this bad. You can only do so much before human nature sets in and the frustration starts. And I'm seeing that with guys. It's almost like they're looking for the chain to get the spark that maybe gives their offense a short field. You got such a horrible punt the other day. It hits off somebody's rear end, and that sets you up on the short field. So I think the defense the last 4 weeks has been pressing a little bit, really since the Boston College game, trying to do too many special plays instead of just doing their assignment. Still doing well, but they're not good enough to win football games by themselves.
John Michaels from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta is with us. Where do you stand on Mark Richt as the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes?
He's got to go. I know the Band-Aid right now will be, let's see if he can change the offensive coordinator and most of the offensive staff. I heard him on Joe Rose this morning, basically tripling, quadrupling, 100 times down that he hasn't even given a thought to giving up play calling. Is it going to be better? I mean, you see the Bengals, and I'll use the Bengals of the NFL as an example. They fired Van Peasey earlier this year. Now Terrell Austin is being the scapegoat as the defensive coordinator. He got fired after giving up 51 yesterday to the New Orleans Saints. Does anybody think it's miraculously going to be better under Marvin Lewis? No, you don't. You kind of see what the track record is. Mark Richt's a great guy, and I know I have to preface every time I talk bad about him with that comment so all the Richt supporters don't get upset. Great dude. He is who he is as a head coach, and it's never going to be better. He's not miraculously next year going to be Nick Saban. He's not going to be Dabo Sweeney. The difference, and I've seen a lot of people make this correlation with Dabo Sweeney, they go, oh, it took Dabo 4 or 5 years to win. Dabo was a wide receiver coach before he got a head coaching job. Clemson was his first head coaching job, and I think he got the job because he was on the staff and he was the easiest guy to elevate. And it took them losing 77-8 or whatever it was in the Orange Bowl against West Virginia where he goes, I need to go get Brent Venables. I got to have Chad Morris. I need coordinators who are going to take this program to the next level. And it happened. Mark Richt is an old dog, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He might go get a new offensive coordinator. Does anybody really think Mark Richt's just going to go, you know what, I am going to be the CEO. I'm going to be Bobby Bowden, and I'm going to sit in the tower, and I'm going to be happy to let everybody else do this. Mark came to Miami because they gave him the chance to call plays. He wants to do that. He loves doing that. And I don't think any Band-Aid at this point is going to make a difference. 8 or 9, maybe you'll have that special 10 or 11 win season. Once every 8 or 9 years, you're never going to be back in the national championship hunt with Mark Richt as your coach.
So you are of the firm belief Mark Richt needs to be fired.
I would fire him as soon as the Pitt game ends, because with the way this season is going, you're going to finish 5-7 and not make a bowl game. You guys talked to me in August. I thought this was an 11-1 football team that would lose to Clemson in the ACC title game. When they got through Florida State, I go, all right, you've got the dregs of the ACC Coastal in front of you. You should not lose another game, and he's found a way to botch it up. Yes, it is time to make a change. I know it would be another change after Al Golden. Didn't we say this with Al Golden about midway through year 4? All right, this guy's got to go, and we had to drag it out a whole nother season before finally a 58-0 loss took him out of the equation. Miami needs somebody young, innovative, or Butch Davis. That's it. Miami, and Hawk, you went there. Miami was the innovator of college football for 25 years. You know what we are now? We're a boring-ass football team that if we didn't have the turnover chain a year ago, I'm not sure that everybody would have been back on the bandwagon.
But, John, I got a curveball for you, man, because we've talked about it. We've talked to you a couple weeks now. What Mark Richt did with Aaron Murray and David Green and DJ Shockley, both are our homeboys. Matt Stafford, now there is a confirmation that Kelly Bryant is going to visit the Hurricanes as a transfer, a graduate transfer, November 24th, when the Hurricanes host Pittsburgh. Now, what if Kelly Bryant coming to UM has to do with Mark Richt's thing? Would that change your mind?
No. I was on Twitter maybe a week ago when Kelly Bryant was – that rumor was kind of out there, Channing. What is Kelly Bryant? Kelly Bryant, yeah, it was great. You were 16-2 at Clemson. You lost in the playoffs last year because he couldn't throw the football. He was beaten out by a true freshman. And granted, Trevor Lawrence is a special, special kid. And Kelly Bryant would make Miami better in the interim, no doubt. Is he better than Rozier? Absolutely. Is he better than Nkosi Perry right now? Absolutely. You would have been 10-2 this year. You probably still would have lost to LSU. You probably would have lost another game because that's the Mark Richt way. And then, it's a one-year Band-Aid. So what if Kelly Bryant goes, hey, I want to come in? He's only coming in if you're guaranteeing that he's going to be the starter for the year. Now you have a redshirt freshman in Perry and a true freshman in Williams that are going to look around and go, wait a second, this was our turn to be the starting quarterback at Miami, and you brought in a grad transfer? If I'm those kids, I go, you know what, I'll sit out the year because I'm not going to be starting anyway, and I'm finding another place to play. That's another Band-Aid on a spot that you don't need to take it. Get your lumps right now. Let Perry, let Williams learn how to play. And if Mark Richt's going to tie himself right now to a grad transfer, and let's not forget, Kelly Bryant ran out of Clemson because he wasn't given the job. I don't need that dude as my starting quarterback. You're good. Go to Murray State. Go to Davidson. Go somewhere there and play football. Go to Ole Miss or Mississippi State. They could use a guy. I don't want you to be the guy at Miami. I need a guy that wants to come in and work his ass off to be quarterback, not a guy that's going to come here because he's given a job.
John Michaels from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta has set the text machine on fire. Here's a sampling. This guy is not educated. He's talking with emotions, not understanding. Richt still has a contract till 2023. Do the math. Who's going to buy him out? Ask this guy who's he going to hire to replace Richt. Followed by, I love him. This guy is the best. Followed by, John Michaels is my guy, but he's tripping with firing Mark Richt. He needs to put his pride to the side, get an OC. John Michaels speaks the truth. Hey, how do we get this guy a show down here? On and on and on. It goes on and on and on. John, I don't agree with you on firing Mark Richt. I still think that he's the right guy. I do think they need someone to call the plays, and I do think you're right. They've gone from being innovators to boring. I mean, I don't know how else to couch it, but I still believe in Mark Richt. I know it's hard to say that after this 5-5 season, but I just think it would be too early to pull the plug.
But to John's point, like, is there any way to guarantee that if he does hire an OC, John, he's not going to get like a do-boy like you're saying? Can Blake James make him go get somebody legit?
That's my fear. I mean, he went from Brian Van Gorder to Willie Martinez. I don't remember who else the defensive coordinators here in Georgia, but fans complained about the defensive coordinator spot seemingly forever at Georgia. They'd have Seymour and Stroud and all these great players, and they get like 8 sacks on the year, and you go, how the hell is this happening? And these guys go to the NFL, and they're great. Now, Mike Bobo's name has been attached. He's a current head coach at Colorado State. He was the OC under Mark Richt for about 5 or 6 years. I loved the way Bobo called games. It was a lot of I formation. It was a lot of old-school Butch Davis smash-mouth football with play-action concepts off of it. That would be a name that would be seen as a do-boy, but I think could come in and do really good things with the job if he ends up getting fired at Colorado State. And he's a guy that also had some health problems out there as well, so we don't know how that's all working out. But I'm not sure that Mark is even going to swallow his pride and Blake James can force him to hire an OC. He said it on QAM this morning. He's never given thought to taking away his own play calling. He wants to do this. When I watch the game, and I know some of the guys on all these different boards put out videos and whatnot, and we're running the same plays 3, 4, and 5 times with no motion, And Dan Orlovsky, who's on the call of the game, is literally like, Miami's not taking advantage of what they're doing. It's the same concepts over and over again. I don't know that Rick's ever going to do it. Now, I want to say this, Hawk, and I know a lot of people think I'm crazy. I am crazy. I'm nuts. I know this. I know Mark Richt is not getting fired this year. I know for a fact he will be, when they open against the University of Florida in Orlando, and Channing, we need to make sure as shows from different cities that we are there and maybe play some kind of wager on this. I'll be there. I'll be with my Miami stuff on. I'll be screaming for them to do better and win a football game. They might actually beat Florida, because I'm not sold that Florida's all that good either.
It's nice to open with a cupcake every now and then. I'm with you, John.
It is nice.
You're calling us a cupcake?
All right, it might not be the best week for me to say that. All right, whatever.
Rice Krispie treats,
went for the joke.
Either way, point being, I know for fans he's not going anywhere. And no matter what happens, I will still be there to support it. But you just lost to the Revenge of the Nerd school. Paul Johnson, there were more Miami fans at Georgia Tech than there were Georgia Tech fans, and you still lost the game. That's the frustrating part. This is the third four-game losing streak in 3 years under Mark Richt. Think
John,
about that for a second.
UGA right now with Kirby Smart. He ended up coaching me. Nick Saban brought him to the Dolphins, so I know Kirby. You flat out with all your heart can say Kirby Smart is a better football coach than Mark Richt.
1,000%. Think about it. They bounced back. They lost to LSU on the road. Georgia got blown out in that game. What have they bounced back and done? Destroyed Florida, destroyed Kentucky, pulverized Auburn. They'll be in Atlanta with a chance to go to the college football playoffs against Alabama. Georgia's one of two or three teams I think has a legit shot to beat Alabama, and it's because of Kirby Smart. He walked in and took Mark Richt's recruits and said, we're going to play this way. Their first year, they weren't very good. The second year, they look like grown men. This year, with a whole different cast, Roquan Smith and a bunch of guys from the NFL, they look like grown men. They ran for 303 yards against Auburn. Auburn never stood a chance. I wish we could have done that against a team like Georgia Tech, who will let Pitt run all over them.
So you're saying Miami lost to Lamar Luttrell and Booger.
Those guys are – no, Lamar Luttrell and Booger were way too cool to go to Georgia Tech.
And Omega Moo.
And that, what do you think about this? We learned earlier today Miami is a what, 3.5-point favorite? 3.5-point favorite over Virginia Tech. Does that strike you as odd?
Yes. Now, the only thing, Virginia Tech's been worse than Miami this year, if that's possible. They've got a lot of injuries defensively. But what do you know about Bud Foster? He is going to load up and say, Nicosi, it's on you. Travis Homer's not beating us. DJ Dallas, Cam Davis, none of these guys are beating us. We're going to go man on the outside. We're going to bring pressure. Let's see if your O-line can hold up. I am shocked being up there. We kind of got lucky it's a midday game instead of night. But I am shocked that Miami's a favorite up there. We were just underdogs to Georgia Tech. I didn't figure we'd be favorites for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. That line jumped out at both of us.
Every name that John said, they said in my living room when I was a kid.
Is that true?
Mike Bobo came to see me. Brian Van Gorder, Rodney Garner. I knew all. Every one of them said in my living room.
Including Mark Richt.
Including Mark Richt.
And Lamar Luttrell.
You can go to hell. And Omega Moo.
You think Lamar Luttrell slept over?
Hey, bunk beds, man. And I was on the bottom.
We'll see you, John.
All right, guys.
John Michaels, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. He brings it strong. He fires up the Canes fan base both ways. And we'll go ahead and open the phone lines, 305-567-0560 and 954-567-0560. Take your calls next.
Radio.com.
By the way, I told you earlier in the show that I was going to DM Rob Pizzola, our professional sports gambler, to ask him about this Miami-Virginia Tech line, because it surprised both of us that Miami is a 3.5-point favorite over Virginia Tech. We just told John Michaels the same thing, surprised him. He said Virginia Tech's been worse than Miami, but you're still at Va Tech. Granted, not a night game, but still, you're a road team. You both have been playing crappy. But Rob Pizzola DM'd me back. He said, the number looks right to me. I have them just under 4-point favorites. So I don't know. It strikes me as an odd line. It does. I'd be inclined to bet that today, thinking that the line is going to go down. But I wonder if they think it's the right line, if that line actually goes up. I mean, the question, I guess the question that has to be answered is, do you think Miami would really lose five games in a row? Do you think Miami could risk going into the final game of the season needing a win against Pitt to be bowl eligible after last season? I mean, is that possible?
After the two-game losing streak.
I know. I said, is there any chance that... I know.
So one thing John said that made me think was the approach to the game. Make Nkosi Perry beat you. Because there was a lot of zone. When Nkosi was getting those passes in, he was dropping into Jeff Thomas on the sideline. They were zoned up. Where if you look at that and see him struggling, load up the box. You're not running the ball. Make Nkosi throw.
And he beat us with your arm.
And the funny thing is, watching those games, man, and I know y'all don't want to hear this today, Nkosi throws a pretty-ass ball. His release and the ball and the rope, and it just doesn't hit his receivers, but it looks good in the air, I guess. So if you can kind of get that target a little smaller, you might have something. It didn't make you feel better, did it?
Well, because I've heard that with Malik. I mean, the same thing with Malik was that he was just inaccurate. You're telling me the backup to the inaccurate quarterback is an inaccurate quarterback?
He's less inaccurate.
I mean, there's a bunch of people that want to talk. Rio, go ahead. You're on 560 WQAM.
Rio's not there anymore.
Rio's not there anymore?
No, it's the next line two on your list.
It's a river in Spanish.
So what is it? Oh. Isaac, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, man.
Well, listen, first of all, let me start off by saying I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so.
About what?
A few years back, I'll tell you now, a few years back, before Rick was hired and we were in the process of looking for the candidates, I was one of those guys, you probably won't remember, maybe it'll ring a bell, I was very vocal about Miami hiring Butch Davis again, because I really thought that he was
the guy.
Voice.
I mean, there's yeah. like 500,000 of you. What do you mean, we're going to remember you? But go ahead. I appreciate the phone call.
Anytime, man. Well, listen, it's not that I don't like Mark Rick. I like him. I even became optimistic after the hire. I thought he would do well. But it just justifies why I thought Butch Davis was the best choice. And I know you may have some idiots calling after me who don't know squat about football and start criticizing me. But look where we are today. And, you know, fine. If we can all say, yeah, he needs to go from the coordinator. He needs to stop calling plays. You know, that's fair. That's fine. I just don't think that's going to make a difference.
But I will say this, though, Isaac. Like, the notion that, as John Michael said in the last segment, that we've been an innovative team, and now we're stuck in the mud. Butch Davis, and I love Butch Davis. Obviously, I went to University of Miami. But Butch Davis has been removed from coaching. Obviously, he's coaching FIU now. But he had been removed from coaching for a long time. Mark Richt had been in the game.
Well, but you have to understand that even if it hasn't been that long, I mean, the thing is that Butch Davis understands the culture of Miami more than any. And you know what? I know that Mark Richt was a Cane before, but so was Shannon. And how did that work out when we hired Shannon?
That didn't work out very well.
No, I mean, he understands. The thing is, Butch Davis is a real coach, man. He's a tough disciplinarian. He knows how to recruit the right guys, put the right staff. And he had, like, exactly what John Michael said, that smash mouth football. He understands what Miami is, you know, as a football team, a football program, the history and all. And he just has that it factor. I mean, for crying out loud, even Saban picked the guy's brain for a reason. He has that it factor. He was it, and we really dropped the bomb when we didn't hire him and we took Rick. I think Mark Rick was a feel-good story at the moment of time. We were all looking for something to hope for. But he really never was the right choice, in my opinion. And I like Mark Rick. I personally like him. I don't think he's a really good guy. But it's just, as a football coach, if we want to get back to being the team we were, being dominant again, we need to hire Butch Davis. You know, lure him back over here. Find a way to get him back here. Whatever it takes. It's just that there's just no one out there. I'm sorry. You can look around. There's no one out there that's going to return us back to where we were. That's all I'll say for now, guys. Thanks.
I appreciate the phone call. There is no doubt, by the way, everybody loves Mark Richt as a person. That is not even up for debate.
Great
that is
human.
A great dude. He recruited you.
Yes.
You liked him. You were going to go play for him. Like he is a good dude. So that is never the debate.
But then I was just looking. Just got a couple names of 2016 when Mark Richt got the job. Some of the names available, like Josh Heupel, the UCF guy right now. That kind of looks good because what they're doing, you know, they're calling for they're winning a lot of games.
Okay.
But then Dino Babers.
Did you see the Dino Babers video from this weekend? Did you see it?
No.
I got to show it to you during the commercial break.
But these are the guys. When you're talking about who was there, these are the guys that were available. The Bronco Mendenhall, the UVA guy, and then Justin Fuentes. Fuentes, the guy up there at UVA. Like, Virginia Tech.
Mario Cristobal was another guy, right, that was available.
Where's he at now?
I think he's Oregon, right? Isn't Mario Cristobal up at Oregon?
And Oregon's not. They're not breaking college football.
But, I mean, it's a big-time program. Mario Cristobal.
And they have a good quarterback, too.
To me, Mario Cristobal, Butch Davis, Mark Richt, you could easily make a case for any of them.
I'm just looking through the names of tenured head coaches in college football, and some of these names were available 16, 17, 18 that I think would get the fan base a little more excited than Mark Richt, especially the offensive guys.
You're talking, but listen, I don't think there is a coach that existed that could have gotten the fan base more excited last year than Mark Richt. Like, I get it's a tough day to defend him. And I'm even saying he needs to have someone else calling the plays. But let's think back to last season. Like, I don't know who could have had that team at number two. I mean, for anyone that's going to argue that, you're going to say that team was number two because of a confluence of events and Mark Richt had nothing to do with it. And then when they're 5-5, mired in a four-game losing streak, it has everything to do with Mark Richt. And that's not exactly fair either.
Mario Cristobal was leaving Alabama as the assistant head coach in 2016.
Right.
So he was right there with Richt. Would everyone have been as excited for Mario as Richt? Because I'm with you. I was kind of getting to that point. If I think Richt was the best decision y'all made at that moment.
This was a winning coach coming out of the SEC that went to the University of Miami.
10 wins a year.
I mean, that to me was an argument ender, still is. Like, the guy existed in the SEC as a winning coach. Couldn't win the big one, understood.
Yeah.
But there's some pretty powerful schools in the SEC.
A lot of revisionist history going on.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And I get it. I get being frustrated. And I get saying the program's going in the wrong direction. We got to make I get it. That's fair. But let's not also forget what happened when he was available and why they hired him.
I'll give up too easy, man.
Well, fans give up on stuff.
Stick to it, man. Stick to it.
Fans give up on things there. I mean, look at what Houston's doing with Carmelo. They're giving up on him. They're giving up on him in what, 11 games?
Yeah, 11 or 12 games.
And by the way, you know how I feel about D. Wade, and I believe D. Wade should have been given the keys to the car. Like, when it came to Miami, if he wanted $20 million, you give him $20 million. He earned that right. There's people saying, D. Wade and LeBron included, that Carmelo deserves better than what he's getting in Houston. Houston doesn't owe Carmelo anything. Houston and Carmelo is not D. Wade and Miami. He's been in Houston 11 damn games. They don't owe him anything. If he's terrible, they can... Like, New York maybe owes Carmelo something. Denver maybe owes Carmelo something.
Maybe Denver.
Houston does not owe Carmelo anything. And if they think he's hurting what was an already good team, get rid of his ass.
And that banana boat friendship thing goes out the window fast when you start losing.
like
think about
see you later.
Dwayne Wade with the Cavs.
Well, I that's right.
You know, we're best friends.
But
best friends.
I think Melo ends up. I think Melo ends up either in Miami or in Los Angeles. I think he ends up with either D. Wade or LeBron James. I think they both have telegraphed. They both telegraphed, hey, we love Carmelo.
If Dwayne Wade and Carmelo are on the court at the same time. That's 70-something years.
Yeah. Oh, you're not interested in winning games.
That's the slowest offense in the history of the NBA.
You're interested in being an interesting team to watch. You're interested in selling tickets, maybe some jerseys.
Maybe getting a Ben Gay endorsement.
But you're not interested in winning games.
Those
but that's
Shaquille
fine.
Shaquille O'Neal back patches.
But I got no problem with it. I got no problem. You want to go out and get Carmelo? Go out and get Carmelo. Then what's going on this season? I mean, honestly.
I'm glad you don't know Pat Riley.
Go get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't care. Well, what else are you rooting for this season? All right, we're going to take more of your phone calls here in a moment. Radio.com. Radio.com. I found the Dino Babers video that I wanted to show Crowder. He got choked up because they had like 42,000 at the Carrier Dome.
42,000?
Hey, let me tell you something. That Florida Gators crowd...
Listen, stop doing this. Don't get caught up in this because I'm getting tired of dum-dums doing this. They take a picture 3 hours before the game and say it's game time. Oh, okay. It's not game time. There's nobody on the sideline. Mm. Take me a picture. Halfway through the first quarter, it's going to be 90,000 damn people there. They're hillbillies. They come out the swamp. I understand it. But they're going to be there. They're going to be cheering. It's going to be 90,000. Go to hell. 42,000 are not impressive to anybody. Dino Babers needs to tighten up.
I'd say Dino Babers and Syracuse had about 10,000 more than Gainesville had.
Come on,
whatever game that I saw.
I get tired of people showing them pictures 7 hours before game time.
Yo, people do that to Miami all the time. You're guilty of it.
Is that okay? Because y'all say I'm heartless. It's okay for a head coach to cry about attendance?
Is it okay? Yeah, it's okay for anybody to cry about anything.
Honk. A head football coach cries not about a win. Hawk, not about a win, not about a big win, not about taking your team over the edge, not about a comeback. About attendance, Hawk.
You think it's okay for D-Wade to take paternity leave?
Nope. Nope. And you want me to get deeper, I'm really going to hurt people's feelings. But nope, I don't think it's okay for him to take weeks
because
off.
Because I think it's great.
I think it's ridiculous.
To be there, to bond with your child.
Yep. He can be there to bond with him. They have all the money in the world, Hawk. That baby can go wherever she wants to. And nobody's in the hospital. There was a surrogate. Gabrielle Union went down the street to Chicken Kitchen after the baby was born. Chicken Kitchen.
You have a problem with D-Wade taking as much time off as he is
yes.
for paternity
oh,
leave.
Oh, goodness great. I was mad at T.Y. Hilton for crying and playing in the game after his daughter was born. How long is D-Wade going to take off?
Well, it seems like over a week.
A week. A week. You know what babies do 20 hours a day? They sleep. He could sneak out during a nap and play in the game and then come back and she won't even be awake yet. Her eyes can't even have two kids. Her eyes can't even focus yet. She doesn't even know who these people are. She can lay on your chest. She'll think you're Dwayne Wade.
I hate to do this. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Because I love D-Wade. And I like any parent, any dad that's involved with the kid and wants. And paternity
leave. I held the knee and I cut the cord. I was there through everything. Everything. I snatched that little black thing off my baby's little navels when it got crusty. Everything. Everything. Vomit all over my face. Everything. I ain't miss no damn games and I'm not going to miss no work.
I think paternity leave is a right.
Paternity. Paternity. You can't have a baby. You can't breastfeed a baby.
You can be a dad.
I know you can be a dad. You can be a dad 4 hours a day a baby's awake.
I hate to do this because
I have two children.
I think this is going to disappoint me, but text it in. How do I, like, yes, just text in. You love D-Wade taking paternity leave or you do not. Just make it clear. I don't want to make it yes or no. Just make it clear that, yes, I think it's over a week.
Or over a week, yeah.
Over a week.
You good with it or no? I am. I think that's great. I think that is the evolution of society. 560-22, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line.
It's a paid vacation is what it is.
Well, right. But it's a vacation in order to bond with your newborn. Mm-hmm.
Guarantee they got a nanny.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, you don't need that if you're off. How about you bond during nanny time? If you're taking off the bond, don't have a nanny.
Well, if they don't have
bond.
A nanny, then are you okay with the paternity
bond.
Leave?
I guarantee Dwayne Wade's not waking up every 2 hours when that baby yells. I guarantee he's not. Listen, Hawk, I have a 7 and 5 year old. I've been through this. I held my wife's right knee. Held her right knee. Actually, I was on air when she went into labor. And I waited till the end of the show to meet her at the hospital.
Because you didn't think Guzio could handle the...
you know what I did say? I said, how far you dilated? Because I knew. Because, you know, 10 millimeters, whatever. Is it 10? Is it millimeters?
Centimeters.
The centimeters? Yeah. 10 centimeters, a big old ways, man.
Is it not 10 centimeters?
The little cervix. I forgot the number, but the little cervix.
I thought you drink champagne at room temperature, so don't ask me.
The little dilation point. So my wife called. She was like, yeah, I'm headed to the hospital. I was like, how far did the doctor say, you know, the dilation? She said, oh, it's 2. I said, so we got some time? She said, yeah. I had an hour left of the show. I'll meet you at the hospital, baby. My wife said, okay, makes sense.
Hawk was right. Centimeters.
Ten centimeters, yeah. So we were 2 centimeters.
Was I right on the champagne? Check that.
No, not at all.
You sure? Everybody?
I'm telling you, man. I know this. I know this baby stuff. This is ridiculous what Dwayne Wade's doing.
And I know the wine stuff, so.
And I'll go even further. How far is paternity leave at the job place nowadays? Didn't Danny?
No, I think because
Hollywood.
Like, I think 4 weeks.
Hollywood took off with 2.5 years. The baby was in school when Hollywood came back to work.
I think that's great.
Man, get the hell out of here.
Somebody texts in, D-Wade takes a mini paternity leave every time he gets back on defense. I do not endorse that text. I do not endorse that. How did you text that while you were talking to me? How are you able to do that? Today's a Dolphins Monday, by the way. It's defended by your insurance attorney, Anthony Lopez. Call 305-800-LOSS.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.